The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. Spread the word. Also catch us on X at RealAlexJones and Rumble.com. The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app at AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. You are the resistance.
Well, that ceasefire, that old ceasefire I showed you earlier, is very precarious. We had the guy on the tightrope. Clip 22, there he is. There's our ceasefire. And it's getting close. It's getting close. And, that's it. U.S. military conducting strikes on Iran happening right now. There it is, in retaliation for chopper downing. So I guess their investigation has concluded. They determined they were shot down, that they weren't sure if it was on purpose or not. But now we have resumed strikes, so there goes the ceasefire. And the oil barons, because we don't even get our oil from the Middle East, but we're still reaping the benefits of the high oil prices. But let's forget about that for a second and go to James in New Hampshire. Said he pulled 40 ticks off his body recently. James, are you using anything to stop the ticks? Or are you hiking in the woods? What's going on? How are you getting these ticks?
No, I'm not. Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Good.
I'm not even going really in the woods. I'm like, I'll just go out in my front yard and I'll find like a couple ticks on me. And I'm really hairy, so like I can feel them crawling on me. But like my dad got bit and he has Alzheimer's. And I just happened to, like, spot the bullseye on him.
Oh, jeez.
And the tick was like, dug in him. And he had to go get doxycycline, and
yeah,
they had to, like, pry it out with little pliers.
Wow. So I heard you could put bacitracin on them because they don't like bacitracin. Yeah. And when you do that, they'll release, and then you can pull them off. I haven't had to do that, though.
You can also, like, rub your body on coconut oil.
Uh-huh.
Like, coconut oil is a natural antibacterial and stuff, and I think that kind of keeps them away, maybe. But
well, another thing, since we're bringing up tick, this is what I used to do, but for chiggers, you would get sulfur powder, like actual powdered sulfur, and we had it in a like a pizza shaker, but we had you know, little holes in the pizza shaker, so it made the holes even smaller, and we would shake it on our shoes and on the bottoms of our pants. And that kept the chiggers away, because I think we went to this place called Chigger Hill, and because we all got chiggers the first year. Next year didn't have any chiggers because we were all using sulfur powder everywhere. But that also keeps ticks away. I think it was the health ranger, Mike Adams, said put it in an old sock and you just slap that
ticks
sock against you and it pops through. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, people say, like, I posted in like a Facebook group for my local town. Like, am I the only one getting ticks on me, like, every day? And the people are like, if you go outside, you're going to have ticks. But I've lived here, like, my whole life, and it's never been this bad. And I, like, used to play paintball and stuff, go out in the woods. You never get this many ticks on you. Like, it's like every day, dude.
Yeah, it's very rare to get ticks on you. The only time in being in Austin, there's a place here north of us called Lake Georgetown. And we went hiking through there, and there were ticks everywhere around there, which was interesting. Like, they were everywhere. And we did have them, but we were getting them before they bit us. But I think I pulled, like, four of them off my son. He had some on his shorts and on the back of his shirt, because what they were doing was hanging under the branches. And if you'd brush up against a branch, they would pop down on you. And then that was it. You were getting a tick. And disgusting creatures they are, that's for sure. And the only other time that we had bad ticks is when they were doing, are they doing any building in your area? Because we had this, they were building a neighborhood behind our house. They had started this road. It was like five or six houses, but all the ticks were just like, boom, invading our yard because of that. And we had a dog that was infested with them. It was disgusting.
Well, I want to plug Dr. Peter McCullough's wellness company. I think he has like a pack that you can get like doxycycline. Because that's what they gave my dad. So
yeah,
everybody should have that if you live around here.
Yeah, it's a basic antibiotic. In fact, that's what they prescribed you too for COVID. so they keep you from getting pneumonia. I'll hold you over, James. We'll talk a little bit more when we come back. We're going to be taking your calls all hour, and I'll cover some more news. You're watching.
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShowShore.com.
We are into the third hour and final hour of the War Room. Don't forget, you can find this transmission, Alex Jones's show, The Alex Jones Show, by going to the website right there on the bottom of your screen, alexjoneslive.com. That is the new website. There's no other new websites except alexjoneslive.com. You go to our old websites, what do they say? Off air. That's it. That's where it's at right now. We'll see what happens in the future. But right now, the place to go is alexjoneslive.com. Okay? If you know, people, some, I got a call actually from Matt Baker. I'm going to call out Matt Baker right now. He's like, hey, man, I can't find your stream. Because when you type in Alex Jones or anything on Rumble, you get a lot of stuff. Because a lot of people, you know, like to put out Alex's stream. Which we encourage. We encourage people to do that. And he said, I can't find it. I said, you know where you find it? You go to alexjoneslive.com and you click on the live streams right there. Boom, it takes you every time. And I think he was, I can't get to Harrison's show. Because I think when on Alex's stream on X, it just repeats his stream. But then we have another one on Alex Jones Network, which is the network feed. And then we have a War Room stream. But all the streams are on alexjoneslive.com. We've kind of taken the mystery of search engines, which seem to have gotten worse over the years. And the search engines don't, it's amazing. The search engine you think would be something we could in the year 2026, the search engine would work. But no. Now it's being corrupted by AI. So we don't have any, we have no way to search. You have to know the exact phrase. Or you just go to where? Bottom of the screen, please. Where is it? AlexJonesLive.com. Right there. All right, James. Had to get through a little bit of technicals on there, but let's go back to talking ticks. So you're saying people in your area are not experiencing what you're experiencing, and you don't have any development going on by you. So what do you think? Are there influx of deer in your area? Because deers are a big carrier of ticks. They call them deer ticks, actually.
Well, there usually are a lot of deer around, but I haven't really seen many lately.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, some people did comment and saying like, yeah, it's really bad this year. Like, but like some people were just like, if you go out in the woods, you're going to get like, you know, the typical like liberal,
yeah,
whatever, Democrat.
What do you expect? And,
I just wanted to say, I'd rather live with the ticks than in New York with all those psychos.
Yeah. You know, at least you know what you're getting with a tick, you know, you're getting a blood sucking parasite. You know, some of these liberals, you're like, well, maybe this is a normal person. No, blood sucking parasite. But it's a human. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, those guys are psychos. You couldn't pay me to live in New York.
Yeah, that's true. All right, James, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for calling and giving us an update in New Hampshire. Appreciate you. And I guess you were talking about Dr. McCullough's service there at the wellness company. But let's go to Petra called in. She was a juror in the selection pool of the Carmelo Anthony trial. Petra, so you weren't there for the entire trial. You were just there for the jury selection?
Correct.
Okay.
There was nearly 600 of us, and I was in the last 250. And I noticed, I watched all of the voir dire going on, and those three black jurors, they kind of eliminated themselves. One of them was a gentleman who said, I could never convict a brother, so he kind of knocked himself out. And the other two were women. They were educators, and the nature of their questions and their comments, I think, kind of pointed toward bias. So they kind of, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, kind of eliminated themselves. And I've been a juror before, and the more you talk, the more you're probably going to get yourself eliminated.
That's just like dealing with the police. Don't answer. Only answer right. The question. Don't give them any more information.
Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of people that would stand up and say they wouldn't be able to convict somebody who looks like a young person or a child, which he's not a child. But so there was a lot of that going on. A lot of people were unable to be on that jury because it was, you know, they felt like they were putting a child in prison.
Now, how long did it take you to, or the process to go through? It was like they said 589 people. How long did that process take?
Took about 3 days because I was there for the whole thing. I was on the last day when they let 100 of us go, and then they had narrowed it down to the last 150, and then that day is when they selected the 12 and the alternates.
And at any time, did you feel that there was racial bias going on with
No.
the jury selection process?
Absolutely not. It was a very educating experience, especially here in the state of Texas. I'm originally from California. Mm. I escaped from my hellhole there. And I was on a jury years ago, so it was interesting for me to learn a little bit of the difference between premeditation, that concept, and the shadow of a doubt, which is a little different than in California. So I got to learn quite a bit. But no, I did not see any bias as far as anything like that. And we were all numbers, not names. And I'm not using my real name either on your call either.
Okay.
But it was a very interesting experience. But it was, and we already knew that Anthony was not going to speak for himself or Carmelo, because his defense attorneys asked, how would you all feel if he does not speak for himself? And a lot of people said, you know, that's probably not a good thing if he's claiming self-defense and we want to hear about it. So it was, they had a tough time picking some folks that would not let all this kind of stuff affect them.
Yeah. And so I guess you didn't see the makeup of the final jury that was there.
No. I was dismissed right before they chose those.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. And I see what you're saying by premeditation or shadow of a doubt, because, mm-hmm. you know, apparently he at some point he had to make that decision to go into his backpack and pull out a knife. And why did he bring a knife with him? I mean, who goes to a track meet looking for a knife fight? That's what a lot of people were probably saying to themselves. If I was on the jury, that's what I would have said. Who goes, like, I don't go to a soccer, you know, I used to play soccer in high school. I played basketball in college. I also played tennis. I never thought of bringing a knife to one of my matches ever in high school. Not even, and when I played in college, I didn't think that either. I never was like, well, I better bring a knife in case something breaks down.
And, right, exactly.
So that's not good. And his defense, and him not speaking for himself, which I think, you know, they do that so it doesn't open him up to the defense or the prosecution questioning him. That's why they didn't do that. And they knew he was going to get dusted, because the witnesses that they were calling forth kept saying, well, it doesn't look like any self-defense. They weren't bullying the guy. They just told me he had to leave. And it didn't look like they were about to beat him up. They just said, hey, you got to get out of here. And, you know, obviously he took it way too far. And it's a shame. You know, it's a shame. Two lives are ruined because of that action. You know, Carmelo is going to ruin his life, and then he killed another kid. So, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see anybody ruin their life. But when you do that, you do have to pay the consequences. So, I'm only thinking he's going to get 8 years. What do you think? You think?
I think they're going to probably give him more.
Okay.
I think so. If they were so quick to find him guilty of murder, I don't think they're going to just let him off with 5 years or anything like that. I think they will go for at least 25 or more. I hope. Because, you know, we can't, and here in Collin County, that's the reason I moved to Collin County specifically, was because it is a very conservative stronghold here, and I am a conservative Republican, and that's why I escaped from my
hometown. How did you live in California? I guess San Diego's not too bad, but the rest of the state.
Yeah, well, yeah, it all rolls up into a big ball, but I moved here to Collin County precisely because we follow laws here. You know, you can't get away with stuff.
Yeah, and you know, as far it took about a year for justice to be served, which is fairly short in the grand scheme of things. I mean, we still don't know who stole the 2020 election.
Oh, and I will tell you, this Judge Roach, you don't want to mess with this guy. He's a pretty scary guy. So, yeah.
Okay.
He's a great judge. I have the utmost respect for him.
And you guys are north of Dallas, right?
Right. Princeton is in northeast of Dallas.
Okay.
And this courthouse is in McKinney.
Oh, all right. I know where McKinney is. Okay.
Princeton's just a little town.
Right, right. Well, appreciate you calling, Petra. Thanks for doing your civic duty and, sir, at least, you know, going there and taking the time. You took 3 days out of your life to go be part of the legal system, and that's what we need. Good people to be on juries. You know, you go to D.C. and it's like whoever the Democrats want to put in jail, they're ready. They're like, who? Just give us a name. We'll put them in jail. We don't care.
Right.
You know, Stuart Rhodes, they showed in that video earlier, got 18 years. Didn't even go in the Capitol. Didn't even go on the grounds of the Capitol. Got 18 years. I mean, I don't even know how that happens. But there it is. Thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Andrew in Washington State. Andrew, how's it going?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. So I was listening to Alex earlier today, and he was talking about Spielberg. And what Spielberg was talking about, how it's supposed to upset Christians, is his funky movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. He said it's going to change our views on religion after we watch it. In fact, here's the ex post from Ben Swan. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I know it shouldn't. So in the same way that Alex has studied the globalists for 30 years, which is why we all listen to him, right?
Right.
Because he knows what he's talking about. Well, I spent the last 30 years of my life studying the prophetic in the Bible.
Okay.
So go to Job chapter 2, verse 1. And hang on a second. Let me get it up real quick. It says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So you need to ask yourself some questions.
Well, and what's the context of this? This is before Satan was sent to hell? What is this in the context of?
And how does Satan have the right even to be in heaven? He's already been kicked out at Eden, and this is afterwards.
Okay, so this is after. Okay.
Because this has been Job's lifetime.
Yeah.
The reason Satan can come into the kingdom, he is then, at that time, the prince of this earth, and that is what among those that are called the sons of God. So the other sons of God, who are also presenting themselves because they're not normally in heaven, are all the leaders, the princes, the individuals who have the keys to the other inhabited planets.
Mm.
So you should not be upset if Spielberg says this, but you should be upset if he says, well, these people are coming to visit Earth. Because they're not. And the reason they can't come to Earth is sin. Sin is sequestered here on this planet, and God will not allow it to get off this planet. It gets defeated here.
And so does that mean we're not really going to the moon? What does that mean?
Did you get that?
I heard you, yeah. You said sin is sequestered on the planet. So I said, what does that mean? Does that mean we're not going to the moon because we're not allowed off planet if we're sinners?
No, I don't believe we've been to the moon.
Well, I don't either.
Because sin would be leaving this earth.
Right.
God can't allow that.
Wow.
God already kicked it out of heaven.
So the firmament's like a sin-proof barrier, essentially.
all I know is God won't allow it.
Right.
I don't read in there how exactly he does that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the means of the angelic travel is. You have Jacob's ladder. What was that? Is that a transport beam? Is that literally a ladder? I don't know.
Right.
Some things you just, I don't make supposition about stuff like that.
Okay. Well, you know, I know this. I'm looking at Spielberg's movie, and I have zero interest in going to see it. I have zero interest in all the people talking about UFOs and looking at you. I have people send me videos like, "What do you think this is?" I'm like, you know what? I assume this is what I assume it is. It's governments with technology that's decades ahead of what we know exists. And if you know they had CD-ROMs in the 70s, and we didn't get them until like, you know, the mid 80s. So, you know, they're at least, I think now at this point, 2 decades ahead, and we just aren't allowed to see that type of technology. And did they get the technology from other beings, or did they get it from DMT drips going into other dimensions? I don't know. But what I do know is whatever the government's going to tell me is probably going to be a lie. That's what I do know. 99% of what the government's going to tell us is going to be a lie, because they have to keep control over the masses some way. And that's their way of doing it, is by lying to us.
If they don't keep us controlled, then they're in real trouble.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, an example of what you're talking about, I was in the Navy in 78 to 80,
yeah.
82. And I was using the internet then.
Right.
It was called the ARPANET.
ARPANET, yeah. Time. ARPA DARPA.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was working fine. I crashed it one day, just hitting random keys on the computer, but oh well.
And that was the 70s. So when did I started using the internet? In the late 90s.
Right.
Like 97, yeah. 98 is when I got my first email. I think it was 98 is when, yeah. I got my first email, and I was on message boards, you know, talking with people about music. That was the extent of my internet. You couldn't do much back then.
Yeah, it wasn't really expensive when what I had in the Navy, but there was a rudimentary form of email.
Mm-hmm.
You could send stuff between different FX. You could go over to what we called the 1MC and, using the same system, call the other places across the world. So,
wow. The technology is, and now you look at the technology of the iPhone, and you're thinking, wow, what's better than the iPhone? Well, probably a lot, because they won't make the cameras any better on these phones, because they don't want us having really, there's a Nikon camera that came out that had all this great super zoom power, and they're like, oh, we can't let the people have that. We got to get rid of that. And there was like a Google phone, I forget what, an Android, that had these amazing cameras to it too. And they're like, no, we can't let them have that. And these are, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, that they're like, no, we can't let them have this. We can't let them have technology that works.
Yeah, I'm not going to get a new iPhone anyway, not with Israel making the chips now.
Oh, I know. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I've still got
it. You ain't blowing up the phone in my hand, buddy.
You know, I called it the ice explode. That's what's going to happen. The ice explode. I don't even know what I have. What do I have here? I can't even tell. I think I have a 14 is what this is in general. Let's see.
I have a 13.
I have an iPhone 14, and I've got iOS version 18. I don't upgrade. Their upgrades are never any good. Then you have to upgrade everything else that you have. It's a pain in the ass. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the ridiculous amount of updates we have to do just to satisfy these engineers' egos. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Planned obsolescence and backdoors and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, too. That, you know, starting this year, this is going to be the last year people are going to be looking for this year's iPhone. So keep your iPhone handy. You'll be able to sell it and get your Israeli iPhone. Just a little bit of C4 in there. Or what do they put? What were they putting? PET in? That's what they used. And see, that's an explosive.
Well, you can overheat the lithium battery and cause it to explode.
Sure,
you
don't
need to put any, explosive in.
That's true. But I think they had some PET in, because that's what they used with the shoe bomber. He had PET in that couldn't ignite, because you have to have an electrical detonator. And the underwear bomber. You know, that's why we have body scanners now, because the underwear bomber.
Yeah.
And he was let on the plane.
He was like, on my underwear, they don't search for that. So yeah. All good.
There you go. Well, thanks for calling, Andrew. You have a great day. Hey, we got go ahead. You got something else? Go ahead.
Pass that on to Alex, my little spiel about Job 2 and 1.
I wrote it down. Yeah.
I listen to him and I'm just like, oh, Alex, what did you just say? And he's so good on everything else, but he's a little off on scripture sometimes.
Yeah, you know, that's not his, he knows the Bible more than I do, definitely. But I would say of all the things that he knows about, I would say scripture's not high on his list of knowing them forward and backwards. He's got a few scriptures that he knows, but you know, he's more concerned about what the government's doing today than what they were doing back then. So it's always guys like you that call in though, that know this stuff. And that's a good, I wrote it down, Job chapter 2, verse 1. So, I don't know, the sons of God. And, yeah, what do you think? Did you see the special he did on Noah's Ark and how they think they found it up on Mount Ararat and they were doing some ground-penetrating radar and they found like a giant hallway in the middle of this mound?
Yeah. I'm into all that stuff, anything that expands my mind. Really, but scripture is my first love.
I think it's interesting how the more they want to disprove the Bible and say it's fake, we keep finding stuff that go, not so fast. You know, here's a giant mound on a mountain, which would make sense. If you're in the ark and the water started to recede, you're probably going to end up on a mountain somewhere. And it would make sense that it would be over in the Middle East, because that's kind of where everything, you know, began. And, that would make sense. There it is. Researchers believe Noah's Ark found in Turkey after new underground scans. And boy, you look at that, you're like, well, that looks like a boat too. It looks like a giant boat from above. So very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. It's all coming. And you know, they're saying this is the age of reveal. So this is why all this stuff is coming around now, because God's saying, hey guys, just to let you know, I'm in control.
He wants that confirmation to be out there so people will pay attention to what he's saying. And I mean, really pay attention.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
Right on, brother. I appreciate you, Rob.
Well, I appreciate you for calling. Thank you for calling. That was a great little lesson. I've got this, Stern Drew put this out yesterday. Breaking: declassified CIA files expose U.S. plans to control the world by manipulating the weather. Ah, wow. Where have we heard that before? This is a memorandum, and the subject is weather modification from when? October 1965. And who did Alex interview way back in the day? He interviewed the father of weather weapons, Ben Livingston, who was basically taking crews, flying them up in the air and seeding clouds and creating torrential downpours to try and swamp and flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So they've been doing this since the 60s. You don't think they've perfected it? Now there's patents you can find talking about putting graphene oxide and nanoparticles in the cloud seeding apparatus that creates these downpours. We had the guy who I actually interviewed him about a year before it happened, Augustus DiRico. He flies drones up into clouds and mainly does it for ski resorts and stuff like that. But he had actually done weather modification stuff a few days before those torrential rains happened. In the center of Texas. Was that last year now? Yeah, coming up on the 4th of July, last year. Don't mess with nature, people. Don't mess with nature. I got a few more calls. Got Jay and Jefferson, and I'm going to cover some of the Indians scamming us. Stay tuned. You're watching the War Room.
Have the very best, strongest methylene blue. From a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me whatever the highest rated is. So they spent like 6 months and said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week, because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago. Almost years ago, they're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. I went, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. okay? And I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff at the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off, and I turned red. Not with like hives, like I was. It was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. Tan good is a little bit Native American. The benefits of that, but I was like even redder. And I was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Electricity." I go, "Oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good." And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, "This is kind of scary." And about an hour into it, I go, "I hope this stops because it was getting too good." That happened to Derek. He took it and said, "I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid." So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, "Ed, by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade." And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. But I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, "Okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. You'll get the best." I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone, literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, "Hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something?" I was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20, and man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing." And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, "It's methylene blue." He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it at first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay, that's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious, okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town because that's how strong this is, okay? That's what this does, and we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke, okay? I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Meet your new scamming overlords. Here's a video. It's a few years old, and it's a guy. He's got a bunch of jars of marbles, and he's like, "This jar represents, the population of India, and this represents Africa, and this, you know, all the areas." And he's like, "And each marble represents like 1 million people or something, or maybe it was 100,000. And he's like, "You could take 10 of these marbles and throw them in to the United States," which only had a few marbles because it only has 330 million people. You know, so it had that much. And it's like, "You take this many people, this is like 20 million people, and throw them in here. It doesn't make a dent in this country, but then it screws up your country." And I've got some videos of that. We got a couple calls. We're going to go to Jay over in FEMA Region 10, then we'll go to Jefferson. Jefferson, hang tight. I got, we got 23 minutes left, so I will get to you at some point. I'll probably play a couple videos. Oh, yeah, there's the gumball video right there that shows, you're not going to solve the third world by importing the third world. You have to take the third world and, you know, maybe instead of sending them guns, we send them tractors. And, you know, instead of tanks, we send them, we teach them how to farm. You know, and there you can see him putting the, moving the marbles around. It's a great video. So check it out. It'll open your eyes to immigration. Jay wants to talk about Israel and share a newfound answer. Go ahead, Jay. You're on the air. Hello? Jay? All right, Jay might be walking around. Hey, guys, let me know when he pops back on. Oh, he called. He ended the call. All right. Hey, I guess he hung up. Maybe he got sick and tired of waiting. Sorry about that. Jay, you can call back if you want. Jefferson, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Rob Du.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, this new Disclosure Day movie is about giving the aliens credit for being able to travel through space at faster than light speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're gonna argue that somehow that's something we can't do. But Ashton Forbes has been proving almost three nights a week now that we have faster than light technology. We have fusion power. We have plasma actuators on our B-2 bomber. That's 30-year-old technology to make the B-2 bomber able to travel farther than normally travel on a tank of gas, so to speak. So Lockheed Martin has had fusion for at least 16 years, but they're hiding it.
Sure.
And Rick Perry, yep, 7 years ago, your former governor, was the head of the Department of Energy, and he blurted out on the radio or television one day that we have compact fusion reactors. And everybody said, oh, he must have just misspoke. He must have meant fission. But I'm saying he's the head of the Department of Energy when he said it. Somebody must have used the word fusion around him for him to have repeated something he was never supposed to say out loud.
Right.
So when it comes to energy scarcity, this notion that our data centers aren't going to have enough electricity unless we let them build some sort of power plants inside their compounds without telling us what kind of power plants they're using or whether they're going to use some sort of newly found technology like low-energy nuclear reactions that Mike Adams is big on right now, not knowing that Zach Voorhees from Google told him in their discussion about low-energy nuclear reactions, cold fusion, that we already have hot fusion that's better than low-energy reaction fusion. And it sort of went over Mike Adams' head. But we all are being bamboozled into thinking that we don't have a fusion energy source. We do. It's just in a undisclosed, unacknowledged special access program at Lockheed Martin, and they're never going to admit they have it unless you force Trump to declassify it.
And Trump said, remember in his first inauguration speech, we're going to unlock the technologies of the universe and free the humanity, essentially is what he said. You guys can probably find the line, but he says this line in his first inaugural address that we're going to unlock, because he knows about all this stuff too. His uncle went and went and grabbed Tesla's notes after Tesla died.
Right. Well, we can assume he knows something, whether he knows as much as he should about fusion energy. And
no, he doesn't know that much. But he's been told, hey, Trump, it's going to be amazing. We're going to have all this energy. And people are freaking out, though. In fact, I did have a tweet from Mike Adams about what's going on in the East. Yeah, here it is. This is an infographic he put out. So since you brought him up, let's show it. Eastern power grid countdown to failure. So he's talking about, you know, they're closing the coal-fired natural gas plants. They've got, you know, they're upping wind and solar, which isn't doing that much. They've got price controls on everything. We're seeing an increase with the electric cars and then the data centers. And boom, basically everybody's going to end up in about a year with no power. Of course, I don't believe that's going to happen. Like you said, I think these data centers are probably going to be outfitted with technology to run their own way because they can't. The government's not that stupid to just cut everybody's power all at once going, oh, we have to have these data centers. They've got to have something in their back pocket for it.
Virginia Commonwealth Energy from Boston is supposed to be breaking ground on a fusion reactor that's going to be viable sometime in the next 2 years. They're going to put it down near Richmond, supposedly. But I don't think the Commonwealth methodology for creating fusion reactions is going to work. PAE or Helion has better fusion technology. They're the sort of public-facing companies that will probably be the breakthrough fusion energy companies that Trump's media company invested in, TAE, Tri Alpha Energy. So I don't know if they're keeping that in their back pocket to one day break that out and say, oh, we've got an energy revolution. TAE and Helion will actually supplant Commonwealth, and they'll take over because Commonwealth will go out of business. But this whole thing about when are we going to get the fusion? When do I get my flying car? I don't really want a flying car, but I do want my free energy or my fusion energy, or at least cold fusion energy. Give me any one of those three so we can get out of this energy scarcity paradigm.
The paradigm, it's, yeah. Yeah.
It's fake. There is no energy scarcity. There is no lack of fresh water on this planet. We can desalinate the oceans if we want to with free energy, but sure. They're not letting us have it. They want to kill us all off first.
Right. Yes, right. Exactly. You've hit the nail on the head, and you happen to be living in the area where they've been think-taking that. How do we kill all these people so we don't have to share the secrets of the universe with them? That's what's going on right now at this very moment. They want to figure out how to kill us, how to kill us quickly, how to kill us without making a mess. And so we can go away and they can have their utopia. And their Hunger Games utopia is what they want.
Absolutely. Yep. That's where we are.
Yep. So, but that's why we keep speaking out. Keep speaking out about it. And, you know, and I don't even know if the energy thing is the biggest problem with the data centers. I think it's the noise that they cause. I saw a report, a guy had a farm next to a data center. All the calves were born dead. He hadn't had one live birth since the data center went live. So these things are putting off an energy, a frequency, something that doesn't jive with humanity.
Yep, they're trying to kill us one way or another and not be culpable. You know, it was all accidental.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to go to this report here. This is clip six. On Meta's massive data center in Georgia. And basically the dwarves dug deep and greedily. And basically they killed the water supply around the area. People are having, you know, people are getting sick. People have to drink, you know, bottled water now. It used to be a nice place. Here's that report.
I want to reintroduce you to a woman who lives 400 yards from a massive data center owned by Meta.
So you can see the sediment from the data center. Wow, and that's just from the water coming out of your faucet.
Yeah, and this is what's in our pipe. You really feel like you are up against this huge wall that you can't penetrate. There's nothing that you can do, and they don't care.
That's Beverly and Jeff Morris at their home in Mansfield, Georgia. And since the story first published, a lot has happened. Meta stopped by with a construction crew to pay them a visit, and some of their neighbors have come forward detailing experiences with their own water problems. So I'm going to give Beverly a call to find out what the latest is. Hey.
Hello.
What's been happening there? I mean, since the story published,
I got a phone call from the lead guy in the construction crew. He came over with another construction guy and representative from Meta. The lady that was with him told me she had seen the video when they said they wanted to be a good neighbor. And I felt like it's been 7 years and I haven't heard from you.
I mean, Meta is a $1.58 trillion company. Why should it take a video like this to get them to ensure that water pipes aren't messed up from their data centers?
I've thought a lot about that, Dan. There are things that are affected now that no one really planned for or thought about, and I think that they should have planned for them and thought about them, of course.
When they told you that they want to do a well study, what goes through your mind?
That I don't trust them, to be honest with me about that.
We spoke with Meta just briefly about what's happened, and they say that they feel confident that they have nothing to do with the water issues that you're experiencing. What do you think gives them that confidence? How can they be sure?
They didn't do any water studies to find out before they came in. They haven't done any water studies since, and that there's no resolution to my well problem. According to the person that came out and looked at my well, this is going to be a continuing problem. I had a neighbor that I did talk to that was trying to explain to me the problems that they were having with their water, and they were identical to what I'm having.
We reached out to Meta and we asked about what their plans are for Beverly and her neighbors. They just sent us a statement. They said in part, being good neighbors is a top priority for Meta in all communities where we operate. They take community feedback seriously, they say, and they continue to work to address concerns raised by local residents. We've been seeing comments come in response to the story, and we've been hearing from communities across the country trying to stop data centers from coming into their communities. All we have is each other. Drop a comment if there's anything happening in your backyard that we need to know about.
This is great. This is the awakening.
Okay, just to recap on the events here.
We can kill that now. That was interesting. You know, you see, it's one video, Jefferson, that gets put out there, and it creates enough of a swell that at least they have to respond to it. You know, obviously their response is bunk and lame and dismissive. Well, we care about our neighbors. No, you don't. If you cared about our neighbors, you'd be building these data centers at the bottom of the ocean like China's doing. So I'll give you a last comment before I let you go.
Yeah, the data centers are an economic wrecking ball. There's a guy that's a data center owner out in Iowa that has a meeting with the city council or the county council, and he's saying, you don't need to use any water to cool a data center. I know I build data centers. I own data centers. It's a choice to use water to cool them, and it's a bad choice, but they don't care that it's not going to work out in the long run. They're just going to use up access to the water by everybody else around them and then switch over to the right method for cooling these things if they still need to use them in the future. But it's all just about wrecking things.
Yeah.
And getting away with it. It's resource access priority control for the people that are behind the data centers. But it's not supposed to work out.
Right. No.
Right. It's all a bubble. It's all just a wrecking ball bubble. It's not supposed to work.
I like that. It's a total wrecking ball. It's a total wrecking ball. All right. Yep. Thanks for calling, Jefferson. Here's another scam out there. There's another scam out there. And I've heard about this. And then I talked to somebody who's like, yeah, it's actually happening. And then I found a couple videos on it. We'll go to this first one. This is a short one from CBS News Chicago. It's clip 15, and it's a screw scam. So when you're getting your gas, check inside that pump and make sure there's not a screw in there, because basically people are coming back and stealing your gas or stealing gas in your under your credit card number after you leave. Here's a quick rundown of it.
A warning the next time you get gas. West Suburban Northlake police say scammers are trying to steal gas directly from your debit or credit card. Now, here's how the trick works. Scammers jam a small screw into the gas pump's nozzle cradle. When you finish pumping your gas and hang the nozzle up, the screw blocks the lever from closing. The pump thinks you're still fueling. So once you drive away, a thief waiting nearby pulls up and fills their own tank using your card. Police say if you noticed a jam pump, alert the gas station attendant immediately.
And this is what happens when you alert the gas station attendants. This is the next, go to the next clip. Clip 14.
Yeah. You see it right there.
You bloody motherfucker!
You know what that is?
No, what is this?
You know what the f that is? You know what the f that is? You skimmed my car. Take that f out. Take the f out or I'll get the cops.
This is
over.
Not that you should.
Take
you
that f out.
Get the f out. Get the f out.
Take that f out.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Don't touch
me.
Take that f out right now. You see that? You see that?
What's this
talk take that out.
You talk like that.
All right, I'll get the cops.
Who are you?
Okay. I'll get the cops. Who the
f***
do you think you are?
Call the cop.
I'll call the cops. Get him.
All right, we did our best to censor that clip.
You know damn well you
f***ing you them.
Yo, take that out.
This is a doctor.
Take this out. I'll call the ass company.
There it is. Your Indian scammers. Now, not all Indians are scammers, so I'm not going to lump everybody into to one big pile of scammery. But it is interesting. We're going to go. Guys, do we have this one? I didn't see that in the list, but that might be in the, yes, this is clip 12. New data shows that once an Indian CEO is hired at a major company, Americans are immediately pushed out and replaced. I wonder if there's any correlation to that in the screwing of Americans. Here's clip 12.
Indians have become CEOs at major American companies, including Microsoft, Google, Adobe, IBM, YouTube, FedEx, and T-Mobile. How are they reshaping U.S. tech firms?
There's an observable correlation between the rise of Indian-born CEOs taking the helms at major U.S. companies and increased offshoring and outsourcing activity to India. In the case of Google, Sundar Pichai became CEO in 2015. And that year, they filed a total of 2,896 H-1B visa applications. However, fast forward 6 years to 2021, they had filed 9,315 H-1B visa applications.
You noticed more Indians working at FedEx internally, so they were outsourcing work to India, is that right?
Offshoring jobs.
And eventually, that's what happened to you?
Correct.
And what happened to your jobs and your team when you were all fired?
They all went to India.
How did it feel to be asked to train your replacement from India?
It was crushing. You go broke.
So no American company has ever been sanctioned for replacing American workers with foreign workers when they didn't have to do so.
Right. That has absolutely never occurred.
I had to sell my wonderful, perfect gem of a home in Sunnyvale that was custom made for me.
How long have you been looking for a job?
2 years.
I had experience. I should have walked right into these corporate jobs, but I didn't. Why? Because Silicon Valley is flooded with people who work for two-thirds of the price or even half price.
I think the Indian community has really helped in the growth of America. Just because we come with a lot of academics, right? All Indians are highly educated, and I think we've always contributed very highly to the Indian, to the American economy.
It felt dehumanizing and it felt humiliating in a way to think that Google cared so little about your investment as a worker on their product that they would just throw it, you know, to any group that they thought might be able to do it.
I'm an American, I'm a U.S. citizen, but I don't feel threatened about my job because I know that I come to work on a daily basis, I perform my job. I don't think I have replaced any U.S. worker here. I've come here, I've worked, I've gone through the whole system, and I've kind of adapted myself to the environment, and I'm still working, right?
And then to even force you to train your replacement people was sometimes kind of felt mean. You know, and harsh.
You know, it's interesting. I used to work at a company that was owned by Indians. It was called, when I got hired on there, it was called the Jewelry Channel. I was a producer. And then we sold jewelry on TV with techno music. And so the back office, I would say the guys in charge of the gemstones and the jewelry were pretty much all Indians. Like, they didn't allow anybody that wasn't a non-Indian back there. There might have been a few, but the main ones were the Indians. The owner was an Indian, very soft hands. He had the softest hands. When I shook his hand, I'm like, you've never done a lick of labor in your life. He was a billionaire. But what's interesting is that all these Indian guys, they were all nice guys. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. They're all great guys. But they would live, there would be like five or six of them in like a two-bedroom apartment. And they had no furniture. You know, you'd have like a couple chairs and a TV stand, and that's it. TV with a TV stand, and that's it. Nothing else. You know, I think a lot of them were sending their money back home, and that's why they pulled their resources together. It's sort of the same with Hispanics. When they come up from Mexico, they pack into an apartment, and any extra money they make, they send back to their families. And there's something to be said for that, you know, as a humanist looking at that. But what's it doing to our country? See, then you got to look at it from the other side. What's it doing to our country? Like, we just saw some of these people, you know, going, oh, I don't get, you know, I get fired and I have to train my replacement. I didn't even get to this story. I'll just cover it right here. Largest healthcare fraud in U.S. history, Operation Gold Rush exposes $14 billion medical scam. I'm sorry, $14.6 billion. So that's $14.6 billion medical scam. 324 people charged, doctors, nurses, and executives in the largest healthcare fraud in history. They did scams. They had mansions. They had crypto. They had stolen things. It's an organized betrayal. So hopefully these people get justice. I want to see 20 years hard labor for these people. 20 years hard labor. That's what I want. And that's what you should want. All right. Don't forget, 50% off. I don't know how long this is going. The mega sale. Let's see if it's got a time on it. 50% off Ultimate Life Force. 40% off Methylene Red, Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue Gummies, MK Ultra, which is the vitamin K and magnesium, which you need those together to make them work better, and the War Cry Smelling Salts. 35% off Zeolite Tincture, Creatine Powder. Creatine is something I take every day. CMOS Capsules, Methylene Blue Caps. Actually, and I took a Methylene Blue Cap today as well before I came in here, just so my synapses would fire a little bit better. 30% off iodine tincture, CMOS gummies, Shilajit caps and gummies, ultimate chill and energy. And don't forget, we just launched the 3-gallon gravity-fed water filter system made out of a really nice stainless steel. It's got Alex Jones' signature on there. You can get a table with it to, you know, pop it up off the ground, or you can put it on the edge of your counter. You can do it either way. I have mine I have on the edge of my counter where it's been for years. I recommend everybody filter your water. And, you know, you get one of those filters where it's forcing it through, like hooked up to your hose. It's not really doing the job. Gravity fed is the best way to filter your water. And I've put videos out where I've cleaned the filters after they've been in there. They get a lot of, you know, mineral buildup, chemical buildup, other things. It's amazing that not everybody in the world doesn't filter their water all the time, because you should be filtering your water. This is an investment in your future. Less than $300. In fact, $229 on sale right now. If you're a VIP member, if you join the VIP, $183.99. So $184 right there. Do yourself a favor. Do your family a favor. Filter your water. It's the best thing you could do. My kids basically drink water because you guys are playing it again. They filter their water because they know that they should be drinking filtered water. And that's a life lesson they're going to carry with them into the future. My son, oldest son's moved out of the house. He's got a water filter. Okay. He's more aggro than I am about this stuff. So thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for watching The War Room Live. I've been Rob.
Tonight at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing and hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger, louder, unbroken.
Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.